Welcome to the show, where we hope to see you readied and equipped to be outwardly fruitful and inwardly filled by the Spirit of God for whatever work He may have for you. In our last episode, we have discussed what it means to be a community of honor, and today we're going to explore what honor is in view of Scripture. Our goal in this piece is to give a picture of what honor is and understand the result of practicing or rejecting it. In this episode, you'll hear me, Chris Hiddle, and Johnny White. We are pastors and instructors at the Northridge School of Ministry. So, Johnny, let's get right into it. How do we define honor?
All right. So a simple definition that we're going to work with tells us that honor is viewing others as God does, that they are made in His image, each with a unique purpose and identity. So, you know, if that's all that you walk away with today, you're winning.
It's an easy target. We got it.
Got it. But there is more.
Yes.
All right. So often used Greek term in the New Testament is the word timeo. It's T-I-M-A-O, timeo, which carries a complementary definition.
Okay.
To estimate in respect of worth, to hold an estimation, respect, honor, reverence.
Those are really, really kind sentiments. And I really like that, but I don't think we really know what that looks like in our context. I don't really think we see that demonstrated much. Often,
not so much.
No. Like often when I think of honor, often I think of how it's this like carefully doled out asset to like a very popular and elite group of people for something they've done. Until they've done something that undoes it and scandal and contempt run wild.
Yeah, exactly. So our society really values people for things that they accomplish. And so I know this is Packer country, but this is a place where I can talk about the Tennessee Titans.
You can. I'm not much of a football fan, so I'll just pretend that I know everything you're about to say.
All right. So the Tennessee Titans, sadly and beautifully, got the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, that's me pretending to be really interested.
So they drafted a quarterback, Cam Ward, right? So he's in the spotlight. He's a celebrity. And so his accomplishments, or lack thereof, are really being watched. Everybody's talking about him. They're spending time on what he's going to accomplish and what he did accomplish throughout high school and college and how he got where he was. And so he's become somebody that people are honoring to save the team, if you will, right?
Sure.
And yet, we see, if we really look at the definition, if we're viewing others as God does, made in His image, that each has unique purpose and identity, mm-hmm. we should not just be valuing just Cam Ward. We should be looking at the whole team.
Yeah.
Right? And if we were to look at, say, our team in Northridge School of Ministry, we have students that are working really hard.
Yeah.
And we have some traditional students who are saving and they're earning and they're paying for their education.
Yep.
And we have non-traditional students that they too have accomplished something that maybe they were unsure that they could do. Yeah. Right? And here they are killing it.
Yeah. That's great. Like, I love that picture because in one respect, I hear this quarterback, like, he's being given all this honor, and yet it's almost like, well, if you don't live to the expectation that we're giving you, we're going to take it all away real fast. Whereas I think within our school of ministry, we're like, hey, if you want to participate, like, we believe that God has great plans for you. Like, so it's kind of like this, we'll give you honor without really any great expectation that mm-hmm. you do anything like world shaking. Like, we just appreciate people's yes.
Yes.
To say, like, I want to be more of who God has made me to be.
Right. So we're honoring for who they are,
yeah.
not what they do.
Exactly. Yes. Well, if that's not what our culture does, I think maybe we should take a second to look at what Scripture says honor is. Because, like, it sounds like we have a better idea of what honor isn't.
All right, let's jump in.
So to do this, let's just like look at a small sample of scriptures. I've just picked three out, and then we'll follow it up with some comments from a pastor that I've really grown to love. His name is John Mark Comer, and I know a lot of our students already know who he is because I honor him and talk about him a lot. So Exodus 20 says, honor your father and mother.
Yes.
I know as parents, we like this one a lot.
Absolutely.
A lot of us hear it from the very beginning, like, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this one. This is actually God's first command that he gives his people. And it starts with honor. And it also comes with a promise that, like, honor means things will go well. Then we have, I pulled out another one, Psalm 8:5. It says, "You've made us a little lower than angels." This is David talking to Yahweh. "Yahweh, you've made us a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned us with honor."
Yeah.
Which that seems really bizarre, because angels are these, like, majestic spiritual beings, and we sometimes look at ourselves as squishy flesh sacks, and we're right. Like, why do we need honor? And yet God has crowned us, given us a crown of honor. And then the last one I want to pull out really quick here is Romans 12:9-10. Love must be sincere. Honor one another above yourself. And so in these three verses, there's many more, but we see honor going up to our parents, honor coming down from heaven onto us,
yeah.
And then honor from us going everywhere else. So we see this idea that, like, honor can really go anywhere. It's not reserved for one group of people.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And if you want to see that even more, you can go to our resource page, because there are far more examples than these from the Old Testament and the New Testament. But really, I want us to see that honor can go in any direction. It can go towards a sibling. It can go towards a coworker, an employer, a pastor, a police officer, a bank teller, a mechanic, a politician, or a farmer. Honor can go to any person in any direction. And John Mark Comer, my friend, he puts it this way. He says that honor is the template, like the default, the base level for all kingdom relationships.
That's beautiful. I really enjoy that perspective. And I hate to turn the conversation. However, if this is our picture of what honor is, I think it would actually be really helpful for our purposes to describe what honor isn't.
Yes.
So you mentioned before that too often, you know, in our world, honor, it could be situational.
Yes, very much.
It doesn't last. And so it is impacted by situations and circumstances, decisions, if you will. So we can be looking at someone who makes a poor decision, and we actually are despising and having a lack of respect or reverence for them or something that they did.
Yeah.
Right? That's actually, it's called contempt. That's what contempt is.
Sure.
So as we discussed in previous episodes, individualism drives our culture as a whole.
Yep, that's the main way we look at things, is this individualistic mindset.
Right? What I think, what I want, right? So let's look, a late New York pastor and cultural observer, Tim Keller said that American individualism eroded common values inherited from previous generations, and because of this, created warring factions across our nation.
Yeah, and I think we see that. And when we talked about individualism initially, we talked about how there's some tribalism, like a scarcity mentality.
Absolutely. So without a common way of valuing people, and if we're holding our own individualized conviction as being, like, ethically superior, we lose many situations where we would value an opposing thought or a different idea or somebody who's different than us, different yeah. groups of people, right? So naturally, this all increases the tribalism you were talking about, which requires us to see the opposition through the lens of contempt, not through God's lens.
Yeah. So if we, like, try to, like, bring that really, like, in this clear picture, because our individual opinions are, like, the most important things to us, when others violate that, it really gives us no other option just other than to say, "You're against me, I hate you."
Yeah, they become the villain.
Yeah.
Right? We villainize them and their actions towards us. So we want to, like, God really gives us a picture that honor can be pointed in all directions, like you talked about yep. from the scripture, right? But contempt can actually do the same thing. It can happen the same way with contempt. So let's say that there's this growing anger or fear of those in authority over us. That's actually got a term. It's called resentment. So resentment is the anger or fear of those above us.
So that would be, like, a boss, maybe a parent, or yeah. politicians, like people that are doing things in our lives that we don't have control over.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So another term is outrage. So outrage is like the anger or fear of those that are in equal power.
Yep.
So that we see what they're doing, we see how they're talking to us, how they're treating us, and we become outraged.
Yeah. So that, them. And that, a picture of that would be like seen in the statement, like, oh my gosh, Johnny, did you hear what so-and-so did?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Which leads to all manner of not good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we just have like this generalized contempt, which is the anger or fear of those that are subordinate.
Mm.
So we're looking down upon people. We're raising ourselves and looking down upon someone. And we're just like, right? I don't agree with you. I don't need you. I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah. So it seems to me even like outrage could force someone in one person's mind to go from being an equal to actually being a subordinate. Like you just look at them as less of a person.
Absolutely.
Because of prolonged contempt.
Yeah.
Well, that's icky.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah. So to, I think, summarize all of that, because we're so individualized, because we are so determined about our own wants, desires, opinions, beliefs, we have a much harder time in our society honoring people when they disagree with us. And as a result, that's why we hold them in contempt.
You got it.
Okay. So it really seems like we are facing an uphill battle when it comes to honor. And if that's the case, then it would probably be helpful for us to understand what responsibility we have to see and treat others as God does and give them the same value that God offers others.
I think so.
Let's hope that brings us to life, because I feel like we're in a pit right now.
Yeah.
So as we think about this, I think looking at Paul's letter to the Romans would be probably the most helpful. His letter to the Romans was a book written to an extremely diverse community. They were multi-ethnic from different backgrounds, different places, all in one major city. And even in that, they had a ton of different economic positions. So they're varied by ethnic background and varied by economic background. So if any group was going to have a challenge to find honor for one another, it was probably going to be this one. And this is really the main reason I think Paul wrote this letter. And in it, he tells the Romans this. He says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want to kind of tease that a little bit more, that what Paul is saying, he's like, every one of us, Christ died for you.
Mm-hmm.
Individually. Like Christ saw something about every single person that they were worth dying for. And this matters because in this short statement, Paul shows us that every one of us has a substitutionary value estimate for every single person.
Okay, so Pastor Chris, I haven't heard those exact words in the scripture. I heard value,
yep.
Value what? Like, let's dig into that a little bit.
So the substitutionary value estimate simply means that Jesus' death shows that every person's given value is like the substance of God. And we see this from the very same idea we talked about in the first week of this series, when God says, let's make mankind in our image. Or we see this in Matthew when Jesus says that the greatest commandment is this, is to love others as I have loved you. Because Jesus went to the cross for us. He is asking us to sacrifice in the same way for others. And because we are made in his image, we should all be seen as God sees us.
Mm-hmm.
But then also because of Jesus' work on the cross, we are taken off. He is put in our place as enough, more than enough, to suffer the justice or the just wrath of God. So to do this, Paul follows up with a radical plan in chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. That's part of Paul's plan for the Romans, to honor one another. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
We need to change the way we think. We can't keep thinking through the lens of contempt.
Right.
We need to start thinking through the lens of honor.
It's good.
Verse 9 and 10, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Again, that goes all back to that renewing of your mind. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Change your mind about what you focus on and honor one another above yourselves. Hold others' value as greater than yours. And then verse 17 and 18, do not repay anyone for evil. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If we were to, you know, completely turn that into a modern vernacular, you could say, do not live in contentment towards anyone. Instead, as far as it depends on you, honor one another.
These are all so countercultural to our current society.
Yep. Because even in like our regular everyday relationships and conversations, the things that we give our attention to are typically more filled with contempt and scandal, but they're not filled with honor. Rarely our conversations are, oh my gosh, let me tell you what this person did at work today.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh my gosh, let me tell you how great this person treated me today.
Absolutely. It's become so normative to function in contempt and lead us towards judgment and gossip and all the other yuck.
Exactly. So to summarize all of this, like what Paul is telling us from what he told the Romans would say to mirror the life of Jesus, make your life look like Jesus's life by sacrificially giving yourself to see others realize that their identity, their substance, purpose, and partnership is given to them through Christ.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I hope so. and possible.
Because it is possible, that is the way that we can honor people, right? By viewing others as God does. Like going back to our definition, right? Yeah. That they are made in his image, that they have unique purpose and they have unique identity, and we can honor that. There are a lot of ways to honor and really to help us finish up. I think we need to get a real clear picture of what we're talking about, all the different thoughts that we've thrown out in this episode, Pastor Chris. We noticed that our modern culture of contempt is incongruent with the Christian life.
Yeah, it doesn't fit.
Nope. We heard that honor is demonstrated throughout the scripture, New Testament, Old Testament, it's everywhere, right? And that is our template for all of our relationships. And we learned that the best way to see others as God does is to realize the value that Jesus gave us by his life, his death, and his resurrection.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great summary. And, you know, we covered a lot today. So if you're listening and you want to better understand what we've covered, we say this every week, but please seek out our resources for episode 3. There is a summary of Romans from the Bible Project. Great content that they put out. Sermons and articles from the pastors mentioned. And then a book that has largely shaped our conversation in the next part of this series as we just try to describe how to put honor into practice. And I will tell you that honor is a whole lot easier to understand when you experience it.
That's so true.
Because like you kind of know like, oh my gosh, this feels like honor. And so we will do our best in the next episode to help you get a picture of what that looks like. But before you go, if you are reviewing this on your own or with a group, please be sure to answer those reflection questions provided.